This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A green light for foreign aid. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Nicole Murray, on this Wednesday, April 24th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate has passed a package that includes billions for Ukraine and Israel and also requires TikTok to be sold or banned.
Facing disruptive protests on campus, schools are taking extraordinary steps. Columbia is moving to hybrid classes for the rest of the semester.
The publisher of a supermarket tabloid says he helped Donald Trump's candidacy ahead of the 2016 election. We'll explain how.
And why young student loan borrowers feel President Biden isn't helping them with his debt cancellation programs.
You know, student debt is an important issue for young voters. And so if he can convince them that he's working for them on it, it could help to turn more out.
Jillian Berman at MarketWatch on young borrowers asking, what about us? As expected, the Senate has overwhelmingly passed a much-debated $95 billion package of aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. It not only means support for those nations, but it also provides humanitarian aid for Gaza and forces the sale of Chinese-controlled TikTok in the U.S. The measure also includes sanctions on Russia and Iran. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby.
I won't say every day, but most days since Avdiivka fell, the Russians have slowly but successfully taken more ground from the Ukrainians and pushed them back against their first, second, and in some places their third line of defense.
Missouri Republican Eric Schmidt, a no vote, called the support for Ukraine to defend its borders an insult to the American people while the U.S. struggles with its own border with Mexico. Leading Republican presidential contender Donald Trump didn't endorse it, but also declined to actively oppose it after House lawmakers turned part of the Ukraine aid package into a loan. Columbia University is moving to mostly hybrid classes on its main campus until the end of the semester due to disruptions caused by demonstrators. The pro-Palestinian students occupying the West Lawn on the New York City campus said they're planning on staying until the Ivy League school meets their demands of divestment from anything related to Israel. New York City Mayor Eric Adams on why cops are wearing riot gear.
They are going to protect themselves from what I believe is a number of people who are really trying to use this to cause violence in our city. And we're going to seek them out. And we're going to identify them.
School President Manoush Shafiq said in a message on the school's website yesterday the college would consider alternative options if students didn't leave the area by midnight. But an emailed statement just before 3 a.m. today says that after constructive dialogue, the university will continue conversations for the next 48 hours. It also says the protesters had agreed to ensure that those not affiliated with Columbia will leave the site. The former publisher of the National Enquirer says he used his supermarket tabloid to suppress stories that might have hurt the 2016 presidential bid of Republican Donald Trump. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
David Pecker testified that the Enquirer paid two people who were peddling stories of Trump's sexual misbehavior but never published them. That's a practice known as catch and kill. Pecker says the decision to bury the stories followed a 2015 meeting at which he told Trump that the Enquirer would publish favorable stories about the billionaire candidate and keep an eye out for people selling stories that might hurt him. Prosecutors say that agreement, even though Mr. Pecker says nothing was written down, constitutes a criminal conspiracy. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Prosecutors say Pecker's actions helped Trump deceive voters in the 2016 election by burying stories of alleged extramarital affairs at a time when he already faced multiple accusations of sexual misbehavior. No court today, by the way. Pecker will continue testimony tomorrow. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. That's Dell.com/welcome to now. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. President Biden and Democrats scored two unrelated political wins within a span of 24 hours. But are those issues enough to alter Donald Trump's lead in a handful of battleground states? Analysis from Ken Thomas, White House reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Ken, take us through it.
Yeah, you know, the president has been working on getting this Ukraine funding package over the line for 6 months. If you recall, he gave an Oval Office speech at the end of October, you know, making the case for keeping the war effort in Ukraine going, helping the Ukrainian forces in their fight against the Russians. And, you know, it has just taken a long, long time, but it looks like, you know, the end is in sight, and that money will be getting to Ukraine. That's something the White House is very encouraged by. And at the same time, there was this very interesting development down south in Tennessee, where a United Auto Workers Union group in Chattanooga, Tennessee, were able to unionize a Volkswagen plant. It had been something that the UAW had tried and failed for many, many years to try to organize and unionize a shop in the South, a transplant auto company in the South. And they finally succeeded. And you know, White House officials feel strongly that part of the reason this was able to happen was because Biden made the decision last fall to join a picket line during the UAW strike against the Big Three. The end result was that the UAW got a pretty good deal at the end of the negotiations. And now the union, you know, feels like it has a lot of momentum, and it is pushing to, you know, build and grow, namely in the South.
Okay. Do we feel that voters have put this high on their priority list, these two items?
I think right now the White House looks at this as just an opportunity to show voters that they are accomplishing things, that they can deliver for the American people. And you know, when you look at this union issue, it's something the president can now go to, you know, working class households, working class voters, union households, and say, look, we were able to do this. This is something that you know, unions have been trying to accomplish for years, haven't been able to, but now they have. And you know, when it comes to Ukraine, I think there's this larger argument that the administration is trying to make, that the U.S. is a reliable partner for democracies around the world, and that the President Biden is engaged in this fight for democracies and against autocracies. And if the White House was unable to get this funding package through, you know, I think Ukrainian forces would have been in a much weaker position. And it also would have been hard for the administration then to go to the NATO summit in a few months, the G7 summit with other world leaders, and say that the U.S. is, you know, the leading country here.
We're speaking with Ken Thomas, White House reporter at The Wall Street Journal. The story is called Democrats Upbeat After Sudden Wins on Ukraine Aid and Auto Workers. Trump, as you say, still leads in some battleground states. Does this begin to shift the winds a little, or too soon to tell?
It's too soon to tell, but we have seen a tightening of some of the national polls recently. You know, Trump had more of an advantage a few months ago. The least recent data shows us that it's a much tighter race nationally. I think Trump still leads in a number of battleground states, but it's not as dramatic. And so I think, you know, what Biden is trying to do is just narrow those margins, get his base to come home.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Thomas, White House reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The first witness in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, has testified that he buried articles that could have been politically harmful to Trump's 2016 presidential bid. Pecker added the Inquirer paid two people who were peddling stories of Trump's sexual misbehavior, but never published them, a practice known as catch and kill.
Number two.
Columbia University has extended the deadline for pro-Palestinian demonstrators to dismantle encampments on campus grounds until tomorrow at midnight. New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer on Fox.
Nobody should be scared to go to leave their dorm or to go to the library or walk across campus. And I think the bottom line is this is what is expected from all these college presidents, to restore civility.
The school will also hold hybrid classes at its main New York City campus for the rest of the semester.
Number three.
A man accused of shooting a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy in West Covina has been arrested for attempted murder. Sheriff Robert Luna said 47-year-old Raimundo Duran has a very extensive violent criminal history and is a known gang member.
At the end of the day, this man was armed with a firearm. He had no business having a firearm in his possession with his criminal history.
The Department of Justice has announced it reached a roughly $139 million settlement deal with victims of sports physician Larry Nassar and apologized for the FBI's failure to investigate the abuse. The Federal Trade Commission has voted to enact a nationwide ban against non-compete agreements. The new rule is slated to go into effect 120 days after it is published in the Federal Registry. Here's an interesting first. Necessities Tour and Travel is collaborating with Norwegian Cruise Line for the world's first ever nude cruise. The voyage will be 11 days long, and the vessel is already being nicknamed the Big Nude Boat. It departs from Miami in February of next year.
The Big Nude Boat.
Would you do it?
That's great marketing. How many drinks do I get to have?
I'd say there'd be a pretty big package. Two big positives there.
Yeah.
No tan lines.
Okay.
And very little to pack.
True.
Let's do it.
Welcome aboard. Drop your shorts. Let me introduce the sports fans to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. On Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Here come the NBA and NHL playoffs, plus MLS soccer is underway, right? So maybe on a single entry, you choose LeBron James for more than 23 points, Connor McDavid for less than 3 assists, and Lionel Messi for more than 1 goal. You can now win up to 100 times your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. Download the app today and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code DEAL on PrizePicks for a deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Thanks for being with us. Memorial Day and the summer travel season are fast approaching, and many Americans are gearing up for summer vacations. How many plan to go away, and how will they pay for it? New data from Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. Ted, what's trending?
The fact that more than a third of summer vacationers are willing to go into debt, I think, is problematic. You know, I always try to be careful talking about this because I don't want to tell people like, oh, you can't have any fun, you can't do anything. But I do think it's worrisome with credit card balances at record highs and with rates close to record highs. The average credit card charges 20.71%. So I think there are some ways to have fun on a budget this summer, but it does worry me how so many people are likely to go into credit card debt.
All right. The so many kind of equates to what? What are we learning here?
36% of summer vacationers are willing to go into debt. Just over half of Americans are planning a summer vacation. I thought that was a little bit low, but then again, there were about 18% that are not sure yet. So that really only leaves about 30% who are definitely not planning a vacation. And the overwhelming answer among them is that they can't afford it, which I think is unfortunate, but I do think there's a middle ground here. You know, if nothing else, plan a staycation, play tourist in your local area, take some time off to relax and recharge, or you know, maybe there's a way that you can take a road trip or be flexible, travel in the off season, the shoulder season, fly midweek instead of on the weekend, use your rewards points and miles. I think there's a happy medium between overspending and going into credit card debt versus just working with your nose to the grindstone all summer long. I'd like to see everybody take a trip, but one that fits into their budget.
Yeah. Okay. So if not credit card, how else are folks paying for it if they don't, say, have the cash on hand right now?
If people need to borrow, a credit card is number one. That's followed by things like buy now, pay later. That's actually been shifting even more into services. And in fact, there are some, like Uplift, for example, would be a buy now, pay later company specifically targeted at travel. And then there's all the usual suspects like Affirm and Afterpay and Klarna, where you could potentially use that to pay for a trip. I think that's a bit of a slippery slope. 6% of vacationers say that they're going to borrow from friends or family. Mm. A similar number looking into personal loans. Credit card debt, though, is the most prevalent. And it makes sense. I mean, it's an easy form of financing. It's just sometimes it's too easy if you're paying 20 or 25% month after month.
Ouch. We're speaking with Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey that finds 36% of us planning summer vacations are willing to go into debt to make that travel happen. By generation, this breaks down how, Ted?
We found that millennials and Gen Zers are the most likely to be traveling. Millennials are actually the most likely to be willing to take on credit card debt, just a little bit ahead of other generations. We did a different recent study that focused more on a broader set of discretionary spending. So it wasn't just travel, it was also dining and concerts and sporting events and things like that. In that other study, there was a much bigger gap. We actually found that more than half of Gen Zers and millennials were likely to take on debt for some of this stuff this year, whereas it was only 30% of Gen X and 25% of boomers. But if we isolate it just to summer travel, that's where the gap was not quite as large, but still millennials standing out.
Thanks, Ted. Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. As a business owner, you have necessary expenses, but some quick math might reveal that you're spending on items that are narrowing your profit margin. Get a smarter business plan with NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. You have access to accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR all in one platform. With NetSuite, everything can be accessed in the cloud from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how your company can benefit from NetSuite. Visit netsuite.com/Gordon. NetSuite has proven ways to cut costs and boost performance. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Gordon. That's NetSuite.com/Gordon.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday, April 24. Gordon Deal with Nicole Murray. Some of our top stories and headlines. Columbia University moves to hybrid classes amid disruptive pro-Palestinian protests. The Senate passed a foreign aid package that also pressures TikTok. Testimony from a tabloid publisher resumes tomorrow in the Trump hush money trial. Trump and Biden each won their respective primaries in Pennsylvania. The FTC banned non-compete agreements but already faces a legal challenge. American Airlines further restricting how you can earn rewards points. And a young girl's motivational mirror speech. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Dell Technologies and Intel are pushing what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. More than 40% of Gen Z swing state voters said in a December poll that President Biden was not doing enough to address student debt. Yet by one measure, he's forgiven $153 billion. A look at the disconnect from Jillian Berman, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Jillian, what's going on?
Yeah, so I think, you know, people who are concerned about student debt or who have it in their lives have been paying a lot of attention to headlines saying that President Joe Biden has canceled, you know, billions in student debt. But a lot of that cancellation is going to borrowers who've been paying for a long time. And so, you know, younger borrowers, borrowers in their 20s, even 30s, haven't really, you know, benefited from that. Mm.
So their reaction might be what? You spoke to at least a couple of them.
Yeah, so some are supportive of, you know, the fact that he's doing something about student debt, but they're still waiting to see if his plans will reach them. And, you know, young voters are a key demographic that the Biden administration is looking, or the Biden campaign, I should say, is looking to reach. And so, you know, whether or not they see this benefiting them could have some implications for the election.
Yeah, because as you say, Biden is underperforming with younger voters. Kind of peel those layers back a little bit.
Yeah, so he's underperforming with younger voters. There's a lot of reasons why that's the case. You know, younger voters have a lot of opinions on the war in Gaza right now. And then, you know, there's definitely some just, you know, more general economic anxiety. But, you know, student debt is an important issue for young voters. And so if he can convince them that he's, you know, that he's working for them on it, it could help to turn more out.
Yeah. I don't discount the fact that this is difficult for many young adults. In fact, you profiled this, I think she's a 27-year-old woman, Savannah Drake. She graduated from Arizona State. She saddled with some debt, and she's sort of saying, what about us? But this has not really been about her.
Right. So the cancellation that the Biden administration has been able to actually push through so far is really geared towards people who have, you know, for lack of a better term, been, you know, been kind of screwed or harmed by the system that's already in place. You know, they've been paying for a long time. They've technically been eligible for debt forgiveness programs, but because of paperwork challenges, because of, you know, sort of servicer errors, they haven't actually receive that cancellation that they're eligible for under the law. And so Biden and his team, you know, went through and did a bunch of things that were really aimed at kind of like righting those wrongs. But it means that, you know, these are borrowers who have largely been in the system for a long time. And so not so much borrowers who recently graduated and are sort of coping with debt for the first time.
We're speaking with Jillian Berman, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. The story is called Biden Has Canceled $153 Billion in Student Debt. Younger borrowers have not felt it. The woman from ASU, is she expecting it? I almost, and I'm not here to bash her, but it almost seems like she's standing there with her hands out, like, or her hat out, like waiting for a gimme from the government.
Yeah, so it's hard to say that she's expecting it necessarily. I think part of the challenge is that Biden, when he campaigned in 2020, campaigned on a broad student debt cancellation program that it was unclear at the time, but probably would have impacted borrowers, younger borrowers, and, you know, kind of borrowers more widely. And the plan that he initially announced that got struck down by the Supreme Court last summer, that plan would have impacted borrowers sort of regardless of age. So, you know, some current college students would have benefited from that. Recent college grads would have benefited from that. So there was this kind of, you know, initial setup of, okay, young people, we're going to get a benefit from this. And then, you know, things changed a bit.
Yeah. How about, I think it was a UNLV student, Salvador Avila.
Yeah, so she, you know, she's supportive of President Biden, and she was happy to see that he's taking these steps to cancel student debt and sees it as, you know, sort of first steps to a broader solution, and, you know, is hoping that some of these efforts reach her. Biden announced a plan earlier this month that, you know, is still coming together, but would perhaps impact younger borrowers as well. So there's still some room for these borrowers to be included in his debt relief plans.
Thanks, Jillian. Jillian Berman, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, the backlash over excess tipping continues, and the rage you feel of being asked to pay extra for no reason can be even sharper when you're overpaying in the first place. This would seem to be the case in Missouri, where a Reddit user said he was attending a ball game and was asked to leave a tip at the self-checkout after scanning two items himself. The user uploaded photographic evidence showing a bottle of beer and a bottle of water next to the self-service kiosk, adding up to $18.48. He says he was given three choices to tip the machine: 18%, 20%, or 22%. And when he tried to cancel the request, he says it popped up again, demanding the same amounts to, quote, tipped the human helpers, who he claims were just standing there watching. While most users slammed the store for its self-checkout greed, others couldn't believe he was about to pay $9 for water. Others joked that maybe the machine has a family at home that it needs to support.
Yeah, some good comments after that.
Yeah, I mean, the water was only just slightly cheaper than the beer. I think that's where we've gotten to now. That was a bigger water, and it was a large size water, but still, when we're paying almost, you know, same amount for water as beer, something's gone awry.
Jeez. Is that like fluid pricing? Like, was it really hot that day, so the price goes up? They can do that now?
Right? Yeah,
extra
yeah,
for the
yeah.
beer? When
surge pricing for the,
pricing.
Water? Yeah, it's probably.
Above 82 degrees, like the price of the beer ticks up 5% and water.
Maybe.
The I'm more of a believer now that if there's nobody helping you whatsoever and you're scanning, that needs to be a discount for you.
Since
you've done the work.
I agree, because the reason they're doing it is to save money.
Right.
The stores save money on cashiers. So if they're saving a little money, then you should save a little money.
I couldn't
agree
more.
You need to get your cut. We all need to get
our cut. That's right. I'm not saying I get to determine the discount like you might determine the tip amount.
Yeah, right.
But there should be something.
Maybe cancel out that credit card surcharge that you were about to
Bingo.
To charge me for.
That's it. That's
no
the one.
No credit card surcharge if I scan it myself.
That's the one.
Yeah. We got it.
Like it.
We're figuring out all the world's problems here today. And even though a large chunk of people caught drunk driving deny or downplay their alcohol intake, they are ultimately found to have had too many before getting behind the wheel. Except for this guy, a 40-year-old Belgian man who was accused of drunk driving had his charges dropped because he has a medical condition that makes him produce alcohol naturally. The man, who has not been publicly identified, suffers from something called auto-brewery syndrome. This is a rare condition in which an overgrowth of fungi in the gut turns carbs and sugars into alcohol. Only 20 people in the world have been diagnosed with this condition. And this isn't the first time that this man was falsely accused of drinking and driving. In 2019, his license was suspended and he was fined, even though he told people he hadn't been drinking. He only became aware of this medical condition recently. And back in 2018, a Florida man lost his teaching job because his coworkers complained he reeked of alcohol, and he was also charged with drunk driving. He was later diagnosed with ABS.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So if you produce it, if you have ABS.
Yeah.
Are you drunk?
That's a good question. I didn't see that anywhere in the story, and I'm curious because this guy, the first guy in Belgium, was pulled over multiple times for suspected drunk driving.
Ooh.
So did that mean that he was swerving all over the road, and that mean he actually was drunk? I mean, he wasn't, I guess, criminally charged with anything, or couldn't be, but was he actually drunk behind the wheel?
Right.
Or this teacher, was he actually drunk in school? Didn't really say specifically, but you'd have to think so if they're getting pulled over by people.
Right, so if it's made in your gut,
does
it enter your bloodstream, causing you to be drunk, I guess is my question.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's
only 20 people in the whole world.
20. Get your own club.
Right.
Hey, it's Gordon Deal. And if you're tired of having the same thing over and over again every meal, do what I did and try Factor. Factor brings you chef-crafted gourmet meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from over 35 weekly menu options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Factor's ready-to-eat meals mean no prep and no mess, using the most premium ingredients like truffle butter and filet mignon. Customize your plans to fit your life. Pause or adjust deliveries anytime. And for April, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long. Just look for the badge to find your favorite low-carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code DEAL50 at factormeals.com/deal50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50. Thanks for spending time with us. At what point are you considered old? Researchers have found perceptions about age differ wildly between generations. Researchers at the University of Berlin, with help from academics at Stanford and others, examined responses from 14,000 Germans. Among the questions, at what age would you describe someone as old? In answers collected from 2021, participants age 65 insisted they were a long way off being categorized as elderly, asserting on average that old age begins at 74. But participants at age 25 say old age begins when you're 66. Researchers said older respondents could have age group disassociation, described as the process of psychologically distancing oneself from the undesired state of old age and from the group of older adults. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate has passed the $95 billion foreign aid package that will provide assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
After more than 6 months of hard work, many twists and turns in the road, America sends a message to the entire world. We will not turn our back on you.
The legislation also gives TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance 9 months to divest or face a ban in the U.S. The bill goes to President Biden, who said he will sign the measure into law today.
Number two.
And more on TikTok. FBI Director Christopher Wray says he is concerned about the platform because its parent company is beholden to the Chinese government, which puts the site's recommendation algorithm, software, and data at risk.
We're talking about the ability to control or collect data on millions and millions of users and to use it for all sorts of influence operations like driving their AI efforts, which are not remotely constrained by the rule of law.
Number three.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore has announced a deeper channel for commercial ships to access Baltimore's port will open tomorrow after a partial bridge collapse last month.
We are on track to have four different channels available to commercial transit by later this week.
A former Washington State police officer wanted after killing two people and kidnapping has been found dead with self-inflicted gunshot wound following a car chase in Oregon. Police say his one-year-old baby has been safely taken into custody. Milan lawmakers are working to pass a bill that would bar all food establishments from selling pizza, ice cream, and to-go beverages after 12:30 a.m. on weekdays and 1:30 a.m. on weekends. Officials say Milan residents have already issued complaints about the possible new rule.
No pizza, no ice cream, no wine, I guess, after 12:30 on weekdays.
They say like they're looking for peace and quiet, but I feel like all you're going to have is hungry, angry, stopping around the streets of Milan.
12:30 a.m. on a weekday. Go home. You got to work the next day.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity for all businesses to reach their full potential. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the MEDC is helping Michigan thrive.
Thanks for joining us. In a heartwarming display of self-love, a father's decision to give his daughter 20 seconds alone in front of the bathroom mirror has taken the internet by storm. Dad Jay, who runs the Instagram account Dads Do It Too, often posts videos of him and his lookalike daughter Tatum. But ABC News says his latest video has people talking. The video starts with Jay telling Tatum he's going to give her 20 seconds to say whatever she wants and he won't get mad. She shouts, "I got this," right before Dad closes the door. Then Tatum goes off.
"I'm a queen. I'm a young queen. I'm a superstar. I'm beautiful, I'm smart, and I love myself."
She added, "I am Barbie and I look pretty." Tatum's Barbie comment caught the attention of the official Barbie Instagram account, which commented, "And don't you forget it," adding a winking and heart emoji. That'll do it for this hour. For Nicole Murray and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcometonow. That's Dell.com/welcometonow.